All right, our next case is the Toledo Bar Association versus Harvey, case 11-1760. Mr. Harvey?
Madam Justice O'Connor, may it please the court. May I reserve 5 minutes of rebuttal time, please?
Okay.
I'm here today before you because I was irresponsible. I was irresponsible in my business affairs as it relates to my law practice. I'm not here objecting to the highly stipulated facts in this case, but only asking that the mitigating factors that I testify to be considered, specifically the death of my mother, as well as my divorce and the termination thereof. It was Friday, February 20th, 2009, a little after 9:30 p.m., when I was contacted by my mother's primary care physician, Dr. Natal, at Kaiser Permanente in Antioch, California. She indicated to me at that time that my mother had had a minor setback in her cancer treatment and that she was being hospitalized, but she would be out shortly. She indicated that she should be out by the end of the weekend, and this was on Friday evening. My mother never recovered. 3 days later, she passed. She was 58 years old. My divorce began May of 2008, filed in September, and did not complete until approximately November 2010. Both of these matters occurred at a time period when I didn't pay much attention to my illegal practice. I fully acknowledged that my conduct was irresponsible and that irresponsibility is the direct reason why I'm before you. In the opinion by the committee, they acknowledged the testimony to my life affairs, however, failed to consider them as mitigating factors. The board didn't reject that this matter was raised to them, and the board didn't reject that these were...
Counsel, I understand that you were going through some emotionally and challenging times. I understand that. But, you know, there's 40-some thousand registered attorneys in the state of Ohio that practice, and everybody at one point or another has tragedy that affect their lives. And attorneys make arrangements for that. They recognize when they can't practice responsibly or when they need to ask for assistance from, co-counsel or whatever. So I guess, you started out by saying I think that you made mistakes and exercised poor judgment. Your exercise of poor judgment is that you didn't get somebody to cover your practice. The board obviously can take into consideration the challenges but your poor judgment is not mitigated by what you were going through.
I understand.
That's my concern with your case here. And furthermore, the next, emotional challenge that you receive in life, which probably there will be some more, how would you, if you're in the practice of law, deal with those sort of things?
I think, Your Honor, if I just may address that, we have three other attorneys in my practice that we do provide coverage to one another now. That wasn't in place at the time. I mean, I did have other counsel that I should have requested assistance from, and I don't have an excuse. I just didn't do it. I acknowledge that I should have. It was definitely an error in my judgment.
What is the nature of your practice, Mr. Harvey?
A combination of criminal, civil, and some domestic relations, as well as bankruptcy.
And are you a sole practitioner or are you in a firm?
I'm solo practitioner, Your Honor.
And so how many cases do you have active at any given time?
Between 50 and 75 at any given time.
Mm-hmm. And has there been any financial loss incurred to any of the clients involved in the failures that you admitted to in this instance?
No, Your Honor. I rectified every single error. I corrected them. I paid for them out of my own cost.
All right. Thank you.
Did you have insurance that did any of this?
I did have insurance, Your Honor. But I didn't turn it over to an insurance company because the errors that were mistaken and the bankruptcy side were to the tune of $260 for the reopening of bankruptcy matters. So that's the court fees. So I would pay those court costs as opposed to turning them over to
And what about the default judgment in the civil case?
I contacted opposing counsel, made arrangements with him and his client to rectify the situation. I paid that as well out of pocket.
And how much was that?
A little over $1,000, I believe, Your Honor.
So these were small dollar financial consequences to your action?
That's correct.
Do you have an idea of what the total amount was?
No, I don't. I don't know how many. Relator indicated a pattern of misconduct, so there were several times by which they indicated that I failed to do something, but on each and every instance, I did pay that cost. I've never tallied that total up, though. I would just like to say, in closing, that I did not cause any financial harm to any clients, that I paid out of my own pocket the cost to remedy each and every matter, that I did fully cooperate in the process, that I answered all questions by relator in this matter, and that I wasn't motivated by greed in any way. I'm not here to ask that no sanction be imposed. What I'm asking is that the court consider staying that sanction. I realize that I've caused this issue and punishment is appropriate. I just don't believe, or I'd ask the court to consider staying those days if a suspension is warranted. Thank you.
Mr. Berry.
Thank you, Chief Justice O'Connor, and may it please the court. It appears that the respondent takes objection to just one of the factual findings of the board, and that simply is that they fail to accept these life offense as a mitigating circumstance. The Board of Commissioners regulations and procedures indicates, I believe in Section 10B2, what the mitigating factors are. And it sets forth, and I'm presuming that the respondent is suggesting that these life events constituted some sort of mental disability, although there's real no testimony to that. This court, when it decided Bowman, accepted that four-prong test and indicated at the very least for this type of mental disability, there had to be some sort of proximate causation, a showing of proximate causation that this so-called mental disability related in some fashion to these violations. And the record is simply void of any such testimony.
Counsel, let me ask you, what could you summarize the damage to clients?
Well, I would concur.
And it's what it was at the time and to the extent it's been rectified, if that was possible.
I would concur that the record would reflect that the monetary damages, the obtaining of the discharges in bankruptcy courts, have all been accomplished save for one case. I'm not aware of any attempt to supplement the record. That case would have been Richardson. At the time this case was briefed, Richardson still had not obtained a discharge. So I don't know if there's been some change in status. Respondent did indicate to me today that he has taken steps in this regard, but again, I would suggest there's nothing in the record to indicate that. To answer, I forget whose question it was. I think it was Chief Justice's question. I would estimate the total out-of-pocket expense to the respondent is in the neighborhood of $4,500 to $5,000 to pay all these $260 fees and to vacate that default judgment on the Dickerson matter.
Is there any evidence that there was theft or dishonesty involved, or is this more a series of neglect?
I believe it's a series of neglect, Your Honor.
Do you see any evidence that he has, in fact, taken steps to rectify the situation? He's talked about affiliating with other attorneys who cover him now. What evidence do you see of any of that?
There is nothing in the record that would indicate that there's been any steps taken other than his indication of his affiliation with three other lawyers in the office now.
What protection of the public is served by taking him out 6 months versus the disruption to the 50 to 75 clients that he has that might have to do something with in the 6 months he's out? What protection of the public do we see out of this?
Well, this case is multiple violations. We have a situation where there's, I believe, 37 different code violations here. We have 13 violations of Rule 1.3, failing to act with reasonable diligence and promptness. We have 12 violations of Rule 1.4A3, failing to keep the client reasonably informed. And we have 12 violations of engaging in conduct that's prejudicial to the administration of
justice. How many clients were involved?
13
clients.
13.
And
we had alleged 15. The board disagreed with.
Over what period of time were those 13?
The first case would be the Kramer case. That was the bankruptcy that was filed February 3rd of 2008. And the last allegation was the Richardson bankruptcy, which was filed March 5th of 2010. So we're talking about a period of in excess of 2 years.
Your committee reviewed his objection to the penalty the board recommended and concluded that you support the board's conclusion. Is that the penalty that you advocated all along? Or?
It is. That was our recommendation to the panel. And basically it's because of the sheer number of violations, the sheer number of clients over an extended period of time. It's not so much, obviously, to punish the respondent, but we feel that this behavior for an extended period of time warrants the suspension that was, or the sanction that was recommended by the Board of Commissioners.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Harvey, do you have a response?
Just briefly. I've had the privilege of having over 500 bankruptcy clients. I acknowledge that during those time periods of those 2 years that I've made 13 mistakes with those clients that has led to multiple violations. I believe that I've corrected the matter with the information that I've provided to the board, the Toledo Bar, with respect.
Well, when you say corrected them, you mean the restitution that you paid?
Well, the restitution, but also by implementing procedures within the office.
So office management, how
correct.
Did you go about doing that? What did you do?
We hired interns. We have a full-time person that we're hiring as a full-time secretary for the whole, for all of the attorneys that we didn't have.
Well, apparently you didn't have a tickler system either.
That's correct. That is correct.
So have you taken on any kind of expert advice in office management?
I have sought the advice of other attorneys, Judge, and trying to manage the bankruptcy practice. The other thing I've done, primarily because it's a calendaring issue, is that I have switched back to just a standard paper calendar so that I can calendar all the events as necessary. And I've also pared down my bankruptcy practice and focused more in the criminal practice area. And I'm in court daily on those matters. It's more efficient that way, I believe.
Do you also practice in Illinois?
I do not. No longer.
Are you an active member of the Illinois Bar?
I am not.
Did you resign or are you inactive?
I'm inactive.
Inactive.
I'm not an active member. I did take the Illinois bar exam in anticipation of moving back. I'm from Chicago, and I thought that I would go back and practice there. I became married, stayed in Toledo. I didn't seek anything further from Illinois at that point.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. We'll take the matter under advisement, and you'll be notified of our decision. Marshall, would you please adjourn court?
Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye.